Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
I've been talking about this for an hour, and I'm not about to let it go now. Ammon Bundy's with us. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm going to catch Ammon up real quick, ladies and gentlemen, to our discussion, and then we're going to go from there and get his input on it. So this is absolute insanity, in my opinion. We had our last hour on a gold and silver dealer by the name of Brian Rust talking about honest money. We have an honest money report on the radio every week. And FreedomWorks is calling upon elected officials to address the $22 trillion in debt. $22 trillion is just a landmark they just crossed. That doesn't count all the unfunded liabilities. It doesn't count any of that. And right now there's a big battle for an omnibus spending bill that's got to be passed, or they claim the government shuts down tomorrow night at midnight. And how horrible it would be to shut down the government again is the idea. But this bill spends $1 trillion. It's an omnibus spending bill. And this bill, not only is it $1 trillion, but it's over 1,000 pages. No one has seen it yet. The president hasn't seen it. Congress hasn't seen it. No one's had a chance to evaluate it. You got 36 hours till the deadline. How do you expect 536? So I'm talking House, Senate, 535 or 435 plus 100, 535 plus the president, 536. How do you expect 536 people to evaluate 1,000 pages and vote intelligently? This is an absolute sham. And Donald's most likely to sign it, they say. And nobody that I can see is providing leadership with this very narrow window that we have to completely reject this and to highlight how dishonest these people really are. This idea that we're going to give a 1,000-plus page bill that spends $1 trillion, and I don't know how long it'll be till the president gets his copy or if he's going to be evaluating it while the other people sign it, but how do you know the same version that gets signed in the House is the same version that gets signed in the Senate is the same version that the president signs if they're all evaluating at once when it comes out of there? I mean, you just can't know these things because there's no time. And then after you, quote, sign it, they claim it's binding. At some point, I would just vote no on this thing and say, you know what? You guys are so dishonest, so immoral, and we're not going to do this. And I think the president needs to do that right now. And the reason I'm speaking out so boldly about this is we just cannot go along with this. There's a narrow window to speak up, and I don't see anybody speaking up but me, Ammon.
Well, I'm glad you are, and I'm glad you're bringing light to this because it is an absolute atrocity. And, you know, I look at it as how it affects the families, because each of those dollars, which is tremendous, I mean, we can't even fathom really how much money we're talking about really here on a family basis. But each of those, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions and trillions of dollars is coming out of the pockets of the family. And that means the cost of living goes up, the cost of food, the cost of clothing, everything goes up. And it forces the basically the families to pay that debt and to pay that cost. And, I mean, that's just the reality of it. So I look at it as it coming out of the pockets of each family that really needs it. The government doesn't need it. They need to be, downsized. They need to be limited. They need to stop the spending. It's the families that need it.
Ammon, is there anyone that you know of speaking out about this bill against it?
No, none that I've heard. And it's refreshing to hear you speak of it and to be informed about it. And
so where's all the Republicans that are for less spending, smaller government? That's their whole shtick, right? Where's all the yellow dog Democrats or whatever you want to call them that are like fiscal responsible Democrats or whatever else? I don't see a person speaking out about this. Now, Rand Paul has provided a lot of leadership in the past. Mike Lee, Raul Labrador from Idaho, they've been fairly conservative and focused on this from time to time. I get it and agree and commend them. But right now, I think there's this narrow window that we've got to speak up. I think 100-plus congressmen should stand up in the media and say, we're voting no on this bill. It may still pass. We don't have control anymore. But we will not let this go unchallenged. We have a bill that nobody can read. Nobody can analyze. Nobody can even get a handle on what they're agreeing to. The first thing you learn when you turn 18 is don't sign anything that you haven't read thoroughly and agree to. Okay?
Well,
and now we've got this, and I don't see anybody speaking out. Nobody.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Health Care Act, the Obama. Remember how they said, oh, just trust us? And Nancy Pelosi said, oh, just trust us. You know, it was so long. So many pieces to it, so many pages that there was no way that anybody was going to be able to truly understand it and read it. And Nancy Pelosi sat there in front of everybody on national television, I think in front of Congress, and says, oh, just trust us. Well, we see where that's getting at.
All right, the House is set to vote on a $1 trillion spending bill, and no one has read it. But it's really the House, the Senate, and the President. And I don't see the President complaining about it at all. And I think there's just dishonesty at the highest levels. Ammon Bundy's our guest, ladies and gentlemen. And I've titled this discussion with Ammon, Our Sacred Cause. Okay, this is a discussion about our sacred cause. Our sacred cause, Ammon, is to realize that family is the fundamental unit of society. And our nation will never be stronger than our families. And the whole purpose of government is to support that God-ordained fundamental unit of society, the family institution. And if government protects life, liberty, and property, then the government has legitimacy. But if the government has more or less than this, it just cometh of evil. And you see it right now. $1 trillion spending bill, and no one's going to read it? Okay, yeah, Kurt did a little analysis in the last hour that I'll brief you on and then let you rock and roll here. He totaled up the national debt, $22 trillion, divided it by 330 million Americans, and it came out $66,667. So it's eerie that it's like 666, but that's another topic. All right, so, and then if you take the Utah debt and add it to it, you're like $72,000 a person. So the second you're born, you owe $72,000, and it's not about to stop. Ammon?
Well, I look at like, what the government, you know, has done to my family. They spent $6 million over basically a two-week period trying to gather my father's cattle after my family had been there for 140 years. And then they arrested us a couple years later, threw us in prison, and they spent over $100 million trying to prosecute us, knowing all along that they were in the wrong. Knowing all along that they were, you know, all the things that they did, and I won't go into that. But
yeah, but we know they were wrong because they got caught perjuring themselves in court, and the judge dismissed it all on the fact that they were so fraudulent. So that's beyond debate. You're right.
Yeah. So, but the point, you know, wanting to make with the audience, I guess, here is that they spent $100 million, and it was like nothing. I mean, they just... And it's basically a racket. What I've learned the court system is just a racket. And we look at the other agencies, you know, and it's just the same thing. It's just become a jobs program. It's just become basically unlimited funds, unlimited resources, you know, spread the money how you want to, you know, give all your friends what they want, jobs, you know, all those things. It's become a big jobs program and a big, you know, spending racket. Rather than what the true purpose of government is, which is to protect the individual. Besides that, leave the families alone. Leave the people alone. We don't need regulation. We don't need to be, you know, restricted. We need to be free. The only thing that a person and an individual or and a family needs is protection. And we have gone way beyond that, way beyond that. And the spending will never end. Until the people say, no more. I will not do this anymore. I will not give up my hard-earned money to you to just spend how you want to and to waste, and then on top of that, to take my freedoms and liberties away. And I can give you another example, too, Sam. I just did my taxes, my monthly taxes. I have a small business, and I've got, you know, 4 employees. I used to have a whole bunch of employees before I got arrested, but I've got 4 employees now. And I...
Hey, hold on a minute. Which part of protecting life, liberty, and property was that all about?
Exactly. Well, that's my point. I don't see there's no connection between, even a business that provides a service, you know, I can say, okay, look, this is the value for that service, you know, whether it's the garbage service, you know, that's coming to the waste service. I could say, well, hey, look, this is what it costs for me to get my garbage hauled off, and it's, you know, worth it or it's not worth it. But with the government, I can't do that. I don't know. Like, what are they doing? They're certainly not protecting me and my family. They're certainly not protecting the people and their family. I mean, they're just spending it on whatever they want. And now we have a bill that, you know, we don't even know what it is.
Amen to that. And when we come back from this break, it's coming up here in just a second. Ammon was saying he filed his taxes. He used to have a bunch of employees. Then the government attacked him. I don't know which part of protecting life, liberty, and property that really amounted to. But nevertheless, now he comes out of it on the other side, completely innocent. No accountability on government side. And now Ammon, buddy, what? Working on his taxes? And they tell you this guy's like a terrorist, right? They tell you I'm a terrorist for supporting him. I mean, these people are unhinged. They're crazy. But Ammon's story continues in seconds. Ammon Bundy, ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
My goal is to so clearly highlight the proper role of limited constitutional government that is beyond debate. Sorry to interrupt your story. Ammon Bundy with us. Ammon, you were saying you were filing your taxes, or working on your taxes, I should say.
Yeah, so I'm working on my taxes as an employer, and many employees don't know this. Many people that work, basically, what I have to do as an employer, I've literally become just a tax collector for the government, and it's tremendous. I mean, I'm just a small little business. I've got 4 employees, and I watch them take a tremendous amount out of each of my employees' paychecks, right? And then I have to take that amount, and I pretty much match it as an employer. I have to match it. And so I send thousands and thousands of dollars each week to the government, and it's very interesting because you know, one time I had a pretty good sized business, and it was, you know, we were one of the larger fleet services there in the Phoenix area. And I won't go into the numbers, but the government came in and did all they did to us and so much, and, you know, really decimated my business. But I finally get out after 2 years being in prison, get my business kind of back up and going. And then each month I do my taxes and I look at how much I make and how much I make out of my business, you know, pays the bills and stuff. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm not complaining. I'm very grateful. But then I look how much I pay the government. And I pay the government anywhere from 3 to 4 times what I make myself as a business owner. I work day in, day out on that business. I watch my employees do the same thing, you know, satisfying customers, working hard. And then I watch us pay the government 3 to 4 times what actually the owner's making. And I see how much my employees, and it just makes me sick. I know what they're doing with it. I know how they're being irresponsible with it. And I would say that the majority of it actually goes to the federal government. And I hate to see that leave our communities. And it just, you know, I do this every month and I complain about it every month. And I just feel it's so, unjust, but I still do it. And
the concern is the war chest that we all build up for them then to go ahead, instead of protecting life, liberty, and property, the proper role of constitutional government, they literally spent how much? Would you say $100 million attacking your family?
That's correct. It has been a proven fact. They spent over $100 million between Oregon and Nevada prosecuting my family.
Okay, and this is what I mean. And so we're all just funding this war chest to then come back and attack patriotic Americans. At the end of the day, juries say not guilty. The judge says, well, the government's the corrupt one here. Bam, out of court. The attorney literally says, hey, let my client go. He's free and innocent. They tase him in the courtroom, right? Am I making this stuff up?
No, that's exactly what happened. They tased my, and then they've attacked my attorneys ever since then, trying to take their license away simply for defending us. And they do this all with the dollar. See, the attorneys, including the judges, the longer they can make these cases go on and drag on, and the more money they make. And so they want it to never end. But meanwhile, the individual, the families, they're literally suffering under this tyranny, this oppression, this threat, you know, this constant, you know, just constant, you know, thought and of someone going, you know, a group of marshals or FBI agents coming and kicking in your door and terrorizing your family and dragging you off to prison. I mean, we were incarcerated for 2 years just trying to get to trial. You know, I mean, that's what we're facing in our country. And it's because they're being funded. It's because they have so much money, they can do whatever they want, when they want, how they want. They've got unlimited funds to basically do that. And those funds have come from us, from hardworking citizens. And they're just, we are funding, literally, we're funding judicial terrorism.
And we're funding our own literal demise as well. So let me ask you this. They're not done. They are trying now to, appeal the judge in your dad's case now?
Yeah, so the district judge, and she was the chief judge over the District of Nevada, deemed our case dismissed with prejudice, which means they can't bring it up again. But the prosecutors, U.S. attorneys, with the American taxpayers' money, have appealed this to the Ninth Circuit and want to open the case up, get the Ninth Circuit to overrule the district judge, the chief judge's rulings, so that they can continue to prosecute us and try to literally destroy our family. And look, here I am paying my taxes, and I'm funding them to destroy my family. And frankly, you know, Sam, I am getting to the point where I have an ethical, you know, moral conflict with paying these taxes that are used to destroy American families and destroy my country.
And the problem is, what do we do about it? I mean, the only choice is to either, one, not pay your taxes, get in trouble there. Everybody that I know that's defied the IRS literally goes to jail and loses everything they have. Steve Stockman tried to stand up and prosecute Lois Lerner for her crimes about attacking and conservatives and the double standard by the IRS. Lois Lerner runs around free. Steve Stockman's in the I don't know if he's in solitary confinement right now, but he's basically in jail. What I mean is there's almost no way to win. The only way you can win is if you basically don't make any money or you intentionally make such a little amount of money that you fall under the radar.
Well, and that, you know, Sam, you know, you've seen, you know this, but that's basically where socialism and communism, which is the direction our country is going, that's what it comes to. People stop working because the government, you know, just takes it, or because the government uses it improperly. So morally or even fiscally, they decide that it's not worth it to turn a dollar, because every dollar that's turned, the government gets, you know, 80 cents of it. And so they just say it's not worth it. And they just, you know, live by, you know, kind of an under black market trade back and forth, just enough to make a living. And that's where they set. And that destroys countries.
All right. The ranchers face so many threats from so many sides, the government being their greatest threat. I think dishonest money and belligerent spending being one of their second greatest threats. But there's even more threats than that. Kurt wants to talk about hamburger.
Well, yeah, this is, I just thought, you know, possibly Ammon might have something to say about this. But the headline from the CNBC boys, burger, impossible. Ranchers lobby lawmakers to agree only animal products can be called meat. New York Times, subheadline, plant-based and lab-grown meat substitutes are increasingly mainstream as fast food restaurants and supermarkets stock products like the Impossible Burger. Beef and farming industry groups have persuaded legislators in more than a dozen states to introduce laws that would make it illegal to use the word meat to describe burgers and sausages that are created from plant-based ingredients or are grown in labs. That's according to the New York Times.
You want to respond to this, Ammon?
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, when I think of them changing the name, or because meat is, you know, it's already defined in the definition or in the dictionary what it is. There's already a defined definition.
Yeah, but that's only if you agree that words have definitions, sir.
Yeah. It reminds me of the whole battle about families, right? Haven't we tried to change, or really haven't they changed the definition of what a family is? And so now they're changing the definition of what meat is. And I almost find it comical. You know, I believe in a free market, and if people want to eat a, you know, veggie burger, then I'm great with that. And if the market goes that way, then that's the people's choice. But certainly don't try to deceive them that it's meat, that it come from an animal, and you know, that kind of my take on that.
You know, Ammon, some people, at least I find it comical when they want to change the names of everything. But boy, if you're in the you know, agriculture world and you think this isn't going to come your way, just think of the word milk. Because I'm telling you, when I grew up, milk was from a cow.
Yeah, it's not roast
maybe
milk.
Maybe a goat. But now you got milk where they milk almonds and they milk,
they even have roach milk,
Kurt. I mean, it's a lot of kinds of things that are milk now. Soy,
now, you know. I don't know if you guys have heard it. Let me just educate you guys on definitions and stuff like that a little bit. This is really important stuff, folks, because it really kind of relates to how belligerent and out of control and how much government has just taken authority and power unconstitutionally unto itself. George Carlin, I know he's kind of a dirty comedian of old and stuff like that, but he does a clean, relatively clean anyway, comedy, where he's looking in the fridge and he's talking to his wife. He's yelling to his wife in the other room. She's watching TV or something like that. And he's like, "Honey, what is this?" And she's like, "I don't know. Smell it. Doesn't smell like anything." "Well, then it's good. You can eat it." And they go on, and he eventually looks at something. He's like, "What the heck is this stuff? Is it meat or is it cake? Must be meat cake." Let's talk about it. Sam, Kurt, Ammon, Bundy, Liberty Roundtable, live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In his first interview discussing the case since his firing, former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe says he ordered the obstruction of justice probe against President Trump just hours after he met with Trump, after Trump's firing of FBI Chief James Comey.
I was speaking to the man who had just run for the presidency and won the election for the presidency, and who might have done so with the aid of the government of Russia, our most formidable adversary on the world stage. And that was something that troubled me greatly.
McCabe also claims in that CBS News interview that justice officials discussed whether President Trump could be removed from office under the 25th Amendment. A three-day teacher strike in Denver is over after the two sides speak for nearly 20 straight hours overnight to reach a deal. And this is USA Radio News.
Hey everyone, Carrie here. For years, you've heard my husband, Ken.
Hello, Radioland.
Explain how Income Store is the place for your next revenue stream. Not to date ourselves, but Ken and I have been helping individuals and businesses grow their revenue since before the internet was even a thing. We've heard countless stories as to why people look to increase their revenue.
Some stories make us laugh, some make us cry.
These stories, combined with our own, have motivated Ken and I to dedicate our lives to help people, as Ken says, who need a revenue shot in the backside.
Whether you want to just learn how, or simply put, you need to generate revenue today, our mission is to serve both.
Our worldwide staff of over 150 help to create amazing resources, our most famous being the iTunes podcast.
Today's growth. You got to check out episode 383. It's truly amazing.
And both Inc. and Forbes have shared that when it comes to generating revenue, Income Store is a can't miss. To grow your revenue today, check out IncomeStore.com.
That's IncomeStore.com.
Suggesting some moderation in job growth, initial claims for unemployment benefits increased last week by about 4,000 to a seasonally adjusted 239,000, when most analysts were expecting a drop to around 225,000. The Labor Department says data for the prior week was also revised to show 1,000 more applications received than previously reported. However, at the same time, the government reported back on Tuesday that there were a record 7.3 million job openings in December. President Trump indicating he may sign a compromise reached by lawmakers on border security to avert another government shutdown, but hinting he'll just get the money he wants for his wall through other sources, saying yesterday the wall will be impenetrable.
It's a wall that people aren't going through very easy. They're going to have to be in extremely good shape to get over this one.
Both the House and Senate could vote on that funding bill today, and this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
At all. You literally do not know what it is. Could be meat. Could be cake. Usually at a time like that, I'll bluff. Honey, is this good?
Well, what is it?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. It looks like meat cake.
Well, smell it.
It has absolutely no smell whatsoever.
It's good. Put it back.
All right, it goes on, but ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're talking about here. We've just gone Ammon Bundy, and I know this sounds like I'm just off on a tangent, but I want to kind of make this point. We're getting to where we don't have any idea. Nothing seems to have meaning or tradition or morality or integrity or honor or definition or stability or safety or protection or, I mean, I can go on and on anymore. We're just off in la-la land. What do you say to that, Kurt? We're just in la-la land.
Well, I was wanting to hear Ammon's response.
Are you there, Ammon?
Yeah, I am. No,
we're just in la-la land. I just thought he was speechless, and so I thought I'd give you a chance, you know?
Imagine if you are a, you know, anybody, really, but and let's say you're a teenager and you're dad gives you or your mom gives you a credit card that has unlimited, an unlimited amount of funds on it. I mean, basically you can any amount you want pretty much. And you are not restricted on any time, you know, or anything. And basically you can have free run to do whatever you want. Imagine what, you know, most teenagers would do with that.
I'd go buy some meat cake, probably.
Well, maybe. And eventually you get to where, like, you're looking for things to do. You're trying to find things to do. You're basically just completely out of control. And I think that's very much like the way Congress is right now. The bureaucracies, actually, in particularly, and the federal bureaucracies, because basically they have devised a way to get whatever they want, the amount, all the funds that they want, and they can do whatever they want. They can come up with any idea they want. There is no limitation to them on the legislation that they pass. There is no limitations on the bureaucracies and how they react and what they use their money for. There is no accountability because the people have lost connection with them and the ability to hold them accountable. And so that's why we have this nonsense, this just complete, utter chaos that's coming from our government entities because they basically are teenagers with a credit card that has no limit. And there is no other restrictions on them, and they will continue to grow out of control, continue to, you know, do all this crazy stuff. And then on top of that, they will continue to build inside America, inside the United States, they will continue to build their army, their bureaucratic army, to force the people to continue to pay them for this chaos.
I don't even know what to do anymore because I don't even think we're focusing on the right issues. Let me give you an example. We're too busy talking about the border wall. And believe it or not, hey, man, if I had to swim the river to get to the freest country on the face of the earth, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Okay? I'm just telling you right now that's what I'd do because I'd want freedom and prosperity and stability and safety for my family. And that's what good, honest people would do the best they could. At the same time, there's terrorists and thugs in the mix. You know, how do you stop the bad guys? Promote the good guy. Well, now we're talking about a border wall. They got a billion in funding for the border wall in this big omnibus $1 trillion spending bill they got going on. They're going to back Donald into a corner. He's going to capitulate and sign it. No one's going to read it. $1 trillion later, we're going to say, what does that thing say? What did we agree to? What is it going to do to us as a country? While that's going on, though, we're literally saying, hey, let's argue about illegals. And let's not care about our fellow man. And at the same time, we're literally letting politicians go on TV and say, hey, let's deliver the baby. Let's make sure that it's safe and comfortable and warm and stuff like that while we plot its murder. Okay? I mean, this is the stuff we're talking about. Now, there's good news, though. Kurt, Ohio.
Yeah, it's the state that's round on both ends and high in the middle. And the report out of Ohio basically says that, what they call the heartbeat bill, according to Breitbart, gets another chance. Another baby gets a chance in Ohio. Lawmakers in Ohio reintroduced a bill that would ban abortion once a fetal heartbeat is detected as early as 6 or 7 weeks into pregnancy. They already had passed the heartbeat bill, as it is called, but former Republican Governor John Kasich vetoed the measure, and the state Senate came up short one vote of the two-thirds majority needed to override his veto. Now the Republican governor that replaced Kasich, however, has said he will sign the bill if it comes to his desk.
So, I pray so, anyway, and I pray they get it done, and it's a good news piece of hope, and it's not enough. I concur, but it's a start, and we got to start somewhere. The problem is we let them control the narrative, and we got to stop it. We've got to take back the narrative and focus on the things that we believe are important, Ammon Bundy. And I want to start with this idea. I believe it's our sacred cause of liberty we're talking about here.
Well, when we, it is sad when all our conversations are basically on a federal level. You know, all our political conversations, all our, you know, conversations about law, at least most of them, almost majority of them are on a federal level, because our federal government was never the general government. Washington, D.C. was never supposed to be this impactful, have this much influence on the individual lives. They were supposed to just take care of the international, you know, affairs, national defense, and a few other things. They were not supposed to be making laws. They do not have authority to be making laws, according to almost 90% of what laws we deal with, you know, in our homes, in our communities, you know, with our lands, our resources, our waters, all of those things. They do not have authority to be making laws according to that. But they have usurped it for long enough, and they have drawn the money out of the communities up to Washington, D.C., and then Washington, D.C. dangles that money down to the communities, to the cities, to the counties, and even to the individuals. It dangles and says, hey, if you will agree to this memorandum of understanding, if you will sign this, then we will give you this money. And ultimately, this is all usurpation. The federal government should not really be involved in our lives at all. Yet almost every conversation we have politically and about the laws are now turned to federal.
And it seems to me, while all this is going on, it seems like the patriots are almost at war with one another. We're so busy in our patriot circles arguing different points. You know, somebody will say something, and they'll be like, Ammon, you don't even know. You're out in the weeds. You don't have no right to say that, or we're doing this or that. It seems like the patriots aren't even unified in standing for this sacred cause.
Yeah, and the Second Amendment, it says a well-regulated militia, I'm going to kind of go back to this, being necessary to the security of a free state. Basically making it very clear that if the patriots, if the militias, if the people, because according to U.S. code, the actual U.S. code, that every able-bodied man and woman between the age of 17 and I think 56 or something like that, I think I'm wrong on that top number, but basically is part of the militia, what's called the unorganized militia. And it says in the Second Amendment, they made it very clear that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And so without the people being unified, without them being strong enough to defend themselves, without them having the ability and the equipment to defend themselves, we cannot secure a free state, which means we cannot be free as a people. And that's what we see. We are divided. And why are we divided? It's basically because of our moral indifferences, because we have lost our principles. We've lost our morals, you know, and the main thing that unites us is that there is a God, and he will defend us.
Wow, the brakes are just coming up faster than I want them to. Hang on, Ammon Bundy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our sacred cause of liberty. It seems like patriots are going to war with one another. It's got to stop. We've got to stand on the principles that made America great. Morality in the people, repentance and forgiveness is where it all starts in your life. And then teach your family to do the same. Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam Kurt and Ammon Bundy on your radio.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
Just spend more time together as a family. Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that it could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
If Planned Parenthood
were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
I think right before the pause, Ammon Bundy brought up the salient point, ladies and gentlemen. All things cannot be just discussed on a national level. The federal government was designed to be small and tiny and not even really be dealt with by the average American on a daily basis in any way whatsoever. We need to discuss things locally. We need to work on local issues. We need to work on state and county and community issues. And most importantly, I think at this point, we need to realize when you're $22 trillion in debt and they're planning in one stroke of a pen on a bill no one's read to spend another trillion, I'm telling you, we're melting down fast. When you talk about unfunded liabilities, we're talking about a couple of $100 trillion. I don't know at this point, with the swamp as it is, if we can get our country back. It's time to prepare internally as a family against these eventualities, Ammon.
I agree, Sam. I mean, you know, you don't want to be doomsday and everything's sad and everything's, you know, bad. But the reality is that this scenario, as far as our society, has happened before multiple times, many times. We have good, clear history of what happens to a nation when they do what we have done. And there has been no nation that's been able to recover when they've gone to the point in which we have gone. And so the fact really is, yeah, we don't stop trying. We don't stop, you know, trying to do what is right, trying to, you know, basically beat the odds. But on the same hand, you know, I recommend that our families, individuals, they need to start preparing. They need to, you know, do what we've been warned to do as far as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, and get yourselves to where you can be, you can feed yourself, where you can defend yourself and help your neighbors to do the same, because this road we're going down is inevitable. I mean, if we don't turn fast, which I don't see anybody really that has the power or the will or the desire when it comes to government to turn this ship around. And I hope it does happen, but the fact is we have gone beyond the point of no return, as far as history tells us.
Yeah, because while our country's absolutely melting down because of the immorality of the people, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump's got a new project. Kurt's going to tell you about it. I think it's this new report about President Trump in the White House, Kurt, that you just sent me here.
Well, yeah, there's, basically the president put in a room-sized golf simulator in the White House. Now, some folks would say, when you see the headline, what are we spending government money on that? But the bottom line is, he paid for it himself.
Are you sure? Did he really?
Yeah, it says the simulator cost $50,000. It says the golf-loving president paid for the simulator game out of his own pocket and installed it to replace the one, get this part, Barack Obama had added during his terms in office. That's according to the Washington Post. So this isn't, you know, I mean, I never heard that Barack Obama had a golf thing in the White House. Did you?
No, but here's the point. Whether he paid for it himself or not, literally, the president's putting golf, you know, in the White House. And I don't see anybody talking about these critical issues. We need to, as Americans, prepare. I'm telling you right now, I'm convinced the government's to the point where this thing is going to start imploding from so many ways it's beyond imagination. And I hate to be the doom and gloom guy, but I got to be the bearer of reality check. We cannot turn our back on God and talk about keeping babies safe while we plot their murder, while we literally abuse people at the border, many of them good people, while we have these false discussions and spend trillions of dollars and promote war around the world. We're the biggest arms dealer in the world. We train more people for murder and for warfare than any nation in the world. And we fund more wars than anybody in the world. And I'm telling you, at some point, it will not be allowed to stand by Almighty God. I don't speak for him. I just read what he says, Hammond.
Yeah, and you know, there is a lot of hope and a lot of excitement that we can have going into these times. Yeah, they're uncertain. Yeah, they're scary. But if we will get ourselves right with God, we'll take care of our families, we'll love our neighbors, we're going to go through this, and it's not going to be easy in many ways, but it, on the same hand, I mean, if we do it right, we can actually have a lot of peace, enjoyment, and we can protect each other, and in the end, we'll end up being better off because, you know, we will survive. People will survive, and those who are prepared will survive better than those who won't. And then on the back end, maybe there'll be some great cleansing, some great accountability in government and whatever else comes our way. And so it's not all bad. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not afraid, not one bit, not afraid of anything that'll come, because I feel like, you know, most of the time I try to do what is right. And my wife does the same. My children are in pretty good shape and I have good friends and I know that we'll survive. And that I'm grateful for.
Kurt? You want to add to this?
Well, you know, as you've said a few times, I agree with what Ammon just said, and that's basically how I feel, especially when you look at the big picture and you remember who's really in charge of the whole thing, the God of heaven. And the fact is that, hey, even if, you know, we had a big, some kind of nuclear bomb that could get rid of all of us right now at this very moment, then we just move on to the next life that I believe is going to be, you know, quite a bit an improvement over this one, you know, et cetera. But when you look at the, you know, current situation, as we've always mentioned, it seems like there's sure a lot of opportunity for, I guess you could say, involvement, as we say. It's a, what is that? Anyway, there's a lot of things to be done. There's a phrase for it, but, you know, a lot of good things that could be done. And, you know, whether it's local, city, county, and, I mean, even federal. I mean, imagine if when we started
even making a difference in the world. And I believe that preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is more mighty than the sword, ladies and gentlemen. And so I think that's what we need to double down to is in our God, family, and country. And I don't bring this up all to be negative and tell you it's the end of the world. What I do bring it up for is to say to people, hey, let's recalibrate our focus. Let's have a kind of a course correction in terms of what we're spending our time, our money, our efforts, our prayers, our focus on. Because I think if we do that wisely, we can make the biggest difference, Ammon.
I agree. And, you know, whether the end of the world is in a few days or a few years, or whether it's in a couple hundred years, and we just don't know, you know, but it doesn't matter. We have the facts of what our government and what our basically society and the direction is going. And it's inevitable that we will have to change quickly and go completely 180 degrees the other direction, or we will face tremendous hardships when it comes to society and government and so forth. That's a fact. There is no way around that. So it's just a matter of how individually we react to it, how our faith strengthens us, and how God gives us direction, and he will give us direction, and he will protect us. I saw this. We spent 2 years in federal detention centers under horrible circumstances. In 2017, I spent nearly half the year in solitary confinement. But God, he truly, truly lifted us give us strength, and also give us understanding of what he was going to do so that we wouldn't lose faith. And we saw that transpire. We were in horrible circumstances, terrible situations. Our families were suffering tremendously. But we saw how the hand of God, in his own magnificent way, delivered us, protected us, and brought us through. And now we're together and happier than we ever were before, with greater knowledge and understanding. And that's just the way God works. So we can't lose faith, we can't lose hope, and we can't fall into despair. But we do have to be wise and real with what's really happening around us.
You know, I think of the phrase, I remember hearing this, one guy said, I want patience and I want it now. And I think back when Sam and I first got into the media in the early 90s and, you know, buying time on a
local radio
station.
Yeah, Kurt was
a
young man back
station.
Then, folks.
That's right, just a kid. If you'd have told me back then that we'd sit at the Republican National Convention in the middle of CNN and NBC and ABC and broadcast, and or we'd be at the president's inauguration or sit with the senators, and discuss things, I would have said, you're crazy, man. And yet, we've been able to do that with the help of our supporters and, you know, people like you. And we've been able to be there when you were at some of your big events. And I guess I feel kind of like the one guy that says, I feel like I'm going through the swinging door on somebody else's push, you know.
Well, and the issue in my mind is this, you know, we have a situation where, hey, there's a lot of trouble in the world. I get it. We always want to think political is the only way to solve these problems. And I submit to you that it's probably almost everything but political that will make the biggest difference at this point. The more we promote God, family. My headline for this says this. We need a course correction. It's about God, family, and country, Ammon.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly right. And it starts right in your heart. It goes on into your family. And then it goes to your neighbors. And then your community. And then maybe a little bit will trickle up to Washington, D.C. But most of that does not matter. And that's not really where the strength of a society or families or society or government really comes from. It comes from in your heart and in your families. And, we have wicked men and women that are in control. They've lost their morals. And what does it say? When the wicked rule, the people mourn. But just, don't lose hope. Don't think that they're the ones really in power. Yeah, they have physical power to affect our lives, and they've done that in many ways. But ultimately, God is in charge, and ultimately he will protect those who come to him and who seek him. I know this. I know this. This is not me just saying this as something that is a good idea. I know this for a fact, that God lives. And that he will protect you when you do what is right. And, I think overall that's going to help us to survive as a family and as individuals. I just reiterate that.
And I double down as a second witness to Ammon's point, ladies and gentlemen. I realize that God knows us. God knows when we were born on the earth. He knows it's the... kind of the winding up scenes in many ways. We don't know the timing of this, but we do know that he will protect those who obey him. And if we want protection, it starts with repentance and forgiveness and obeying God. And then it starts with doubling down and focusing on the fundamental unit of society, your family. And then as you can reach out to others and help them do the same, I simply believe that our baptism of covenant is bearing one another's burdens. Let's start there, shall we? Ammon, the last word's yours, 10 seconds.
Well, thank you. Again, don't lose hope. We are affected by what others do, but ultimately, God is in control, and we have a lot of happy times ahead of us.
We're going to try to get Ammon to join us once a month going forward. We'll work on that, Ammon. Thank you so much, sir. Godspeed. All right, Ammon Bundy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, if the media would give him a fair chance, just think how reasonable he sounds, how honorable. Anyway, what a great philosophy.